Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Welcome back to the Like Dragons Did They Fight podcast. Oh, I'm so excited for our topic today and so glad you're here joining us and listening. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here today. This is one of our Eternal Warriors Coaches episodes. Here today with Debbie Stransky and myself, Karen Broadhead. And our topic today, just the power of Jesus Christ in helping us in our battles and what a miracle he is to enable us to have so much more ability and capacity and understanding and even staying power, right? Because he's with us. So this one, the reason we're doing these is for the month of December, just before Christmas, we wanted to do a couple of these. So today's topic is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Champion. The battle is the Lord's. This is super inspiring for me just to even say that. Makes me think, yeah, Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Champion. And any battle that I personally struggle in, if I understand that I might not be able to champion this mess myself, finding a victory or an answer, being my own champion, often I have found throughout my life that that is not the way Heavenly Father's plan works, Karen. His plan is literally set up for you to run into things that you didn't think you'd run into, to experience things that you never had on your agenda, that you didn't want to happen to yourself or people you love. And then all the spiritual battling that we do in there with our own self-mastery, with our own way of trying to see out of a more clear lens what we're dealing with and not just get into this shame and this blame game over everything. There's just a lot of battling that we do here in mortality. And I know that Heavenly Father's plan is all about our Savior helping us work his plan, and that all the difficult battles that I've faced in my life, as I look back now, that I'm, you know, closer to 60 than 50 now for sure. I'm thinking all these years when I look back, I think I can totally see that in my extremities was I needed them so that I could learn more about myself and how to follow Jesus Christ and how to allow him to enable me in my personal battles and to see that he's the champion. And I am not the champion. I'm the person who needs a champion. And I get to use this incredible, powerful gift that I have of agency and to choose different things according to my conscience for my life. And the more years I live, the more I realize I just feel so much safer when I remember him and that he champions me in my battles, and that to realize that the battle is the Lord's. So, yeah.
I love that, Karen, so much. Thank you for sharing that. It makes me think of, for many years, I taught seminary class to the youth. Our, in California, our youth have to get up really early, be at church by 6 a.m., and they just struggle, right, getting in there, but they show up. And the first lesson in January that we always teach is the plan of salvation. And I remember when I first was a seminary teacher, I did your typical, well, here's the plan. Here's where we started. Here's the war. Now we're on earth and we want to get to one of these kingdoms. We want this top one. And I would draw those figures on the board. And I've learned through the years the error in teaching it that way, because in that plan, there's one thing missing. It was Jesus Christ. It was just, I gave the overview of the plan, but it's so important to think about that plan and know that it's coming from our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the plan is there to give us strength and to give us the endurance and to give us the hope. And if we even just pull it apart, it's so beautiful as we look at the whole thing that we know where we came from and we know there's a war. And when we're in the struggles of mortality and we can remember that war is still going on, but that we have a Savior and that we're going to make mistakes. Oh yeah, but we have a Savior and we have a whole mortality to learn and to err and to become stronger because we have a Savior, and we can repent because we have a Savior and He's our final judge, right? And then He's going to present us to our Father. But He's our Savior. He's our champion. He's the one that's alongside us. He's done everything He can to help us be as successful as we desire. And when I started thinking of it like that, the plan of salvation, and I was able to pull back and see the whole thing with the Savior, it's such a beautiful plan. It's so much more than just the little circles on the board that you can draw, right? The other thing is the Savior, He's the one that made the covenant, right? That's the Abrahamic covenant. He made the covenant and He can be trusted. He is a man, a God of His word. And He's, if we will allow Him in, we are not going to fail. And for me, I get caught up so much in life on the little details, on the error that I made, on the mistake I made, or on the mistake my kids are making or the people around me. And I'll focus on, I'm sure they're doing all of that because of my mistake, right? But when we pull back and we can see the whole plan, we can see that that's just part of the journey and part of the learning and part of the love and the grace, because we're really here to become more like our Heavenly Father. And so there's this plan that helps us get there. And in any trial that we have, the answer is always going to be the Savior. How do we find back to the Savior? And how can we pull back and see the plan and the beauty in the trial?
That's excellent. Yeah, that's so good. Because that's really a key, right? The beauty in the trial. It reminds me of something that my mom, she and I would talk every week on the phone. We live in different states, and she passed this year in April. There was a little season where she would call, and almost every week she'd say, "Can you believe this quote? Isn't that the best quote ever?" And she would talk about it again and again. And she said, "I wish I knew who said this. I don't know who said it, but isn't it just the neatest thing to consider?" And so, I don't know who said it either, but I know my mom said it, so I'm going to repeat it here. But as we see the beauty in our battle, what the battling is for, it was just this, you know, quote about there's this scenario where, you know, a daughter or a son of God is returning back home and going to report on their life. And as they're passing other individuals, you know, on the way to where they're headed to go report on their life, they're noticing how, because they felt like, you know what, I got my head held high. I'm trying to be very confident. I hope this works out for me, kind of a feeling. And they're noticing along the way, you know, how that person is super not put together, right? this is where we report, you know, you're not super put together and you're look kind of broken over there and, you know, and oh, I bet they're just not ready to report, you know, and then they get to the Lord and, you know, they're, you know, standing there. And the first thing the Lord says to them is, where are your wounds? Where are your wounds? Where are your scars? And anyway, they said, you know, thinking it's a good idea, they said, like, I'm super excited to report because I have none.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have none. I have no scars. And then the Lord says to them, was there nothing worth fighting for? Right?
That's so good.
Yeah. Was there nothing worth fighting for? It says a lot, right? Like, what we do to battle and the wounds that we sustain, the scars that we have as badges of spiritual armor upon us, you know? It's just so cool to notice that, yeah, that's because we have things that are worth fighting for.
Absolutely. As you're saying those, telling that experience and those words, I'm hearing the perspective that I hear coming from the Savior, right? And how he sees it. And again, it's our minds think we need to obtain perfection or we need to look a certain way or be a certain way to be acceptable to our Savior. But we are acceptable because he knows the wounds and the battles that we're going to fight. And it's part of the design. It's the design in helping us learn and become stronger. It's so interesting, the perspective that we can have on our trials or even as we look at other people, right? Last night, we had an activity at church. Years ago, I was in the Relief Society and there was a gal that worked with us in the Relief Society. And she started to run into a lot of trials and found solace in substances. Mm-hmm. And fell away from the church. And last night on the way to the activity, this same gal sent me a text and she said, I'm a little tipsy, but I want to go to the Relief Society activity. And my initial thought was, oh, I wonder how tipsy she is, because that could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I got out of my car and I could hear this loud, loud music playing from a car. And I said to another girl, do you think that's so-and-so? And she goes, no, she would be listening to Led Zeppelin. She wouldn't be listening to country music. And I said, but the speakers are about to break. That's got to be her. And so everyone kept walking into the church and I just know the Lord was right there. And I went over and I started looking for the car that was playing that loud, loud music. And there she was. And so I just tapped her car and waved her in and she got out and she screamed and said, we're going to have a girl's night out. And she went, I was just like, oh my goodness. And as we walked into the building, I just thought, what an incredible, beautiful thing that the Spirit touched her enough, right? Mm-hmm. To at least get her to the parking lot and then counted on me to not get into my, what is this going to look like, but to go get her and to walk in with this very happy friend of mine. It was all over the place. But oh, did I love her? And I kept thinking, this is right where the Lord wants her to be. And she's a daughter of God. And where am I that I can help her? I'm not saying I was right where I should be at first, but I got there. She left early, but the perspective that the Lord has on us and where we are is so different. I think where we are with maybe other people, but especially with ourselves, right? The battle is real for sure. And it's the war is raging on and we are okay no matter where we are, no matter how messy it is. Just remembering that we have that champion, that Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, who's right there with us, no matter where we are. If we're a little tipsy, you know, he'll find someone. If we're walking on eggshells because our home maybe doesn't look like what we think it should, he's right there with us. He's in the battle. He is the captain. And all we have to do is just remember him and to just take one little step, even if it's only a moment, one step, right? And that one step matters. And those steps, I think, add up to the great plan. You know, we're just trying to get stronger and then we can take two steps. It's the adage we hear all the time, one day at a time. And sometimes it's 1 second at a time. Sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. And then it's a day. And then it's a week. And then you get older and you're like, wow, I can't believe all those things that went on. And maybe they're not all healed and better and wrapped up in a bow, but you can see the strength in the journey. Thankful for the battle and for the journey, and that the Lord loves us enough that he says it's your time to go learn, and to thank the Lord that we're born in this time, you know, and we're given the opportunity to battle, but that we're safe. I think we just forget we're safe because we have a Savior who's right there. We have our Savior, Jesus Christ.
So good. That's so good. Ah, so one of the things that comes to my mind is, so how do we battle with him, for him? How do we allow him to battle with us, to be the champion in our battle? And I was just thinking, can I think of any examples personally where that's happening? Because I know that when we're right in the middle of battles, especially when we're having lost battles, like, dang, this is not okay. I don't like that I'm in this spot, right? And I think, you know, for the platform that this podcast is available to so many people who are associated with life-changing services, I know that if you're listening to this, then you have a very informed lens about the battle. And you have a very, you're growing just like I have in your ability to understand that, wow, you know what? Scars mean something. Wounds mean something. There are things worth fighting for, and it is a fight, dang it. Like it's a good hard fight. It gets pretty darn sweaty. And so to be able to just say, yeah, what do I do? And anyway, I was just thinking, it wasn't until I had learned, you know, how to apply this eternal warrior's scientific side of living a spiritual life, like understanding why self-mastery is so hard for people, wondering how people get stuck in patterns of addiction, and how hard it is to get out of that, and how hard it is to experience being, like, you know, the bystander, the person on the side supporting that. It's very difficult. And no matter what angle you're coming to a battle in, whether you're the one that's bringing the water bottles and the blankets or the first aid kit, right? Or you're the one that's got the sword and all the gore everywhere, right? Both of them are so difficult, take so much endurance and need to be met just on a one-on-one, in a one-on-one way with one Savior and one son or daughter of God, right? That just is so special to me, to think that we have a God, the greatest gift that's ever been given us, you know, celebrating him this Christmas season, to think, what a gift, to think that we, our God, is here to, you know, be Emmanuel, the God that's with us, right? I know that that's what that name Emmanuel means. It's God with us. And I'm just thinking, that's huge. So what's something that I can put my finger on that I've done to battle? And something comes to my mind. Yeah, I have a family member that's really struggling right now. And it's been really difficult for my husband and I to navigate this space because we're both in different places in how we understand the battle. And so anyway, it's just heavy. But anyway, one of the ways that I have discovered to allow the Lord to come and fight the battle with me is to not pray for the reprieve, but to pray for the, like when I kneel to pray and I'm praying, you know, with my husband, when it's my turn, I try to just stay in a place of miracles and gratitude and hope and just proclaiming and using that prophesying gift that we learn about in the Eternal Warriors of who God is for us, who the Savior and Champion is for us, and what his role is in our lives, and to, you know, to tell Heavenly Father that that is what I want. I want to hold that line in this battle, to remember him, to hear him, and to allow him to prevail, and to know that he's going to. And it's just so amazing how I can come to that place and think, oh, this is heavy. This is so hard, right? And then with intention, I just will think of every kind of thing I can think of that is evidence. If it's a story from the scriptures, I'll start talking about it. If it's something that's happened in the past, if it's something that I've noticed, you know, to just kind of speak out loud about this is who God really is, and this is who our Savior and Champion is, and this battle is his. No. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, dang, I'm good. I'm good to go, you know? And I know that it's because I'm, you know, using my power of awareness to create more choice for myself and not just be buried by it all. That doesn't mean I can stay there all day, but when I'm done, I just feel like, wow, that's amazing to me.
It's so beautiful. I too have a couple of kids that really, really struggle, and loved ones in my life actually sprinkled all over the family that are really struggling. And, you know, their struggle is so real. And those that are of us that are the bystanders, the struggle is so real. And I don't know which one it's harder for, and I don't want to get in any controversy about that. Both sides are so hard.
Yeah.
If you're the one that's struggling with the addiction or that's so hard. And that battle is so real. And that fight, I've sat in prisons and I've sat at many rehabs and I've watched these precious sons and daughters battle and fight and lose and fight. I've watched it. And I can say, I can see the battle is so real. And also I can feel the Spirit so strong in those meetings. I can testify with complete, absolute confidence that the Savior is sitting right there with each individual because he cares about the one. Mm. And the scars that they have and the battle that they have, he's right there championing them every second. And they might only win the battle for 5 minutes a day, a week, but he is there all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. There was one time I went to the prison, and then I don't live in Utah. And the prison that I would go to was in Utah. And then there was a temple down the street. So I would travel and go to the prison, and then I would go to the temple, or vice versa. The order didn't matter. But in this particular time, I went to the temple first. And the person that was working there said, oh, dear, I don't recognize you. It's just a small town. What are you here for, dear? And I said, oh, I'm here visiting my loved one. And she said, oh, are they new in town? You know, who are they? Maybe I know them. I'm like, I'm sure you don't, because they're down the street. And her sweet face had a little bit of shock and horror on it.
Yeah.
And I loved her for that because I knew something that maybe she didn't know, that exactly where I was going to the temple, I could feel the spirit so strong. But I knew that when I went down the street, entered into those doors, I was going to feel the Savior and the Spirit so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a powerful thought. And then the other side is the it's so hard to be the one who can see a loved one's battle and want to get in there and help them and, you know, tell them what they need to do and show them and come on, I'll put you on my back and I'll just do it for you for a period of time. That battle is real too, as you see the struggle and you see the setbacks. And for us personally, we do the same thing, right? Our desperation to help is real. It's real. But the battle is the same on both sides. It's, do we have enough faith to allow the Savior to do the healing? So their battle is their battle. They're fighting their Savior and their ability to take the next step. And same is with us. The battle is real. And to say, do you have enough faith that the Lord will give you in exact moment the words that you will speak or the exact moment, the thing that you should do? Do we have that faith? I've been able to say throughout my life, yeah, I have that faith, until it came time to like, yeah, but do you see that this has kind of got a time factor on it? We actually need this to happen in this amount of time. Well, that would be a little bit of a lack of faith because he's about the long game, right? And the pull back of the whole plan. And he can see what really needs to happen in our heart, in our struggle, in our development to increase in faith and to hold on no matter what, no matter how messy it is, but to hold on being all believing. Do we have that kind of faith? That's hard.
Yes.
And it's so hard. And no matter which side you're on, that fight and that battle is so hard. But the answer is the same. Do we have the faith and how do we grow in that faith, even if it's just a little bit? And we don't have to jump off that whole cliff, even though it feels like we're getting pushed off it. We just have to keep moving in that direction, just keep taking it one step at a time and go, I'm going to hold on. I can hold on for 5 minutes. I can hold on. I can hold on. And then you get stronger because you start to see the miracles. And oh, I'll end this little saga here in just 1 second, but I'm going to say one more thing. Both of my kids who struggle so much with addictions, it's been years. And I remember when we started to realize there was a problem and the bishop at the time came up to me and he said, you're about to enter a very long walk in the wilderness. Are you ready? And I was so mad at him. And I remember like, you know what? I think you might need to get released because I have enough faith that this is going to end, I'm sure, soon. This is just an episode. He'll get help and we'll all be better. And he'll go on and serve a mission and he'll get married in the temple and we'll be just fine. So what are you talking about? Well, we're about 19 years in.
Wow.
He's 3 years in recovery.
Yeah.
He's not anywhere where I would have thought all those years ago he would be. But 3 years of recovery is a big deal. It's a big deal. The fact that he'll hold a job anywhere is a big deal. And the Lord didn't give up on him. He's working with him. And I believe that he's right where the Lord knows where he is and he's meeting him right where he is. I can see it. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I don't worry about the wilderness anymore. I'm okay with the wilderness because he's worked with me. And I trust that he's walking there with me. And I think that's a miracle. And I know we look different. I know that when I go to church, maybe I don't think I am the weirdest one anymore because I think we all have our stuff, right? But I did for a long time think like that. And I now just think I can wear my scars and my trials with a little bit of honor because I can testify that Jesus Christ is my Savior and he's there and he's never left even when I've yelled at him. I have. I've told him what for. Karen, you've said many times, you're the most direct person I have. Don't think it stops. when I pray.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. And he just understands us, who we are, and what we need. And I love that he's really accepting that when we battle, right? Just this morning, I was talking to a woman who struggles with a lot of mental illness. She has PTSD and OCD, and she was really evaluating some of her recent difficult battles and how she got in a place where she just couldn't see. She couldn't see clearly. And that when she gets in a place like that, she starts hearing instead of this, you know, this gentle, she calls him her gentle Jesus, that she says, whenever I stop hearing gentle Jesus, and I start hearing like the voice of that man or my father or whatever, instead in my head over and over and over again, then I have to start speaking about who Jesus is, how gentle he is, how proud he is of me for listening, trying to hear him, and that, you know, and just keep telling myself, he's gentle Jesus. He's gentle Jesus, because she has a lot of religious scrupulosity because of the messages she got about, you know, over the top, living outside, you know, where we think Jesus is gentle. It's more like Jesus is a, you know, unless you battle really well, then he's not going to help you, that kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
And so she's, anyway, just lots of stuff. But it was just really sweet to hear her say, I am a Jesus girl, and my Jesus is gentle. And he always comes to get me. He never forgets me.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that she says that too, because we know that Satan wants us to live in the dark and to be mm-hmm. silent, to be isolated. And just her remembering is such a good lesson for all of us, that we have a gentle Jesus, and it puts the light back in the darkness. Yes. Because while we're not alone, we have a gentle Jesus. She's mm-hmm. really, really inspired in that. It's a great thing for us all to remember, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. It's also good for me to have this thought that I don't have to get all scruffy and battle like crazy and get all bloody and gory with the adversary. That I can be like this, you know, peaceful warrior who understands I can begin this process by not giving you power over me, but it doesn't necessarily make you go away all day, right? I can begin this process by saying no, or wait, or notice, hold. I know what this is, right? And then recognize that, yeah, the Savior is my gentle Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Boy, is he going to take you out, right? This is the battle. It's his. He has already crushed you. You are already smashed, right? You're done. And if I can remember that, that's already happened. He's already claimed the victory, and all this manipulation and relentless torment that we get from the adversary in the difficulties of our life is just a bunch of smoke and mirrors, right?
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of the sacrament prayer, that the blessing to always remember him, right? Always remember him gives us the power and the confidence. I love what you're saying, that if we can just always remember him, that he has already crushed.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes us wonder, what do we get so worried about anyway? You know?
Yeah, it's almost like if we can be accepting of our scars and our wounds and know that the real battle is just to keep showing up, keep showing up and trying to remember him all the way till we're safely dead. And then it's like you win, right? You win. But it doesn't mean, boy, you better get that all figured out top to bottom. You better stop doing that forever and ever and never do it again. Like, I think this mortality experience and the battlefield that it is about us, no matter what, deciding that we're going to choose Jesus.
Yeah. And we started with perspective, right? And it, as you're talking, I'm just thinking we can get caught up in the battle and the bloodiness and the poor me, or we can have the perspective, like what you're sharing, that he's always with us. The battle's already been fought. And what? So then what is it all about? It's all about our learning and our growing and our refining so we can be more like him. That's really what we're fighting to do, is to have the learning. The adversary is part of the plan of our learning. It's a different perspective, right? It's in a poor me. It's like, oh, wow, I get to do some learning now. I see thee now. I get to learn.
Right. I know thee. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I know thee. Thou art Lucifer. And I know what your game is here. Right. And really, that's so much of what we do in Eternal Warriors and the awakening that both Debbie and I would nod our heads saying, yeah, it made all the difference in the hard things in my life to recognize I can see the battle more clearly now, which makes it possible for me to see myself and how the atonement applies to me and to see my gentle Jesus. Like, I can see that. But it wasn't until I could put all of these principles together and put them to look at my life in a different way and how what was going on in a different way. Wow, it just changes everything. It's like you can say, you know, just knowing the battle, even if you're not stellar at fighting it yet, just knowing it is what you are gifted when you work with an Eternal Warriors coach. It is so phenomenal. Like, your eyes have been opened in a way that you're like, someone forgot to hand me these glasses, right? Someone forgot. And wow, thanks for these new glasses. It doesn't make all of your problems go away, but boy, does it make you all of a sudden realize, I see it now. I know thee now. Thou art Lucifer. And yeah, I know my father lives and loves me too, right? Spirit whispers this to me and tells me it is true, no matter what hot mess I am.
So good.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. I hope that you will come and find us at lifechangingservices.org. Underneath the training and support tab, you'll find the coaches page. But yeah, we'd love to just even have a consultation with you and answer some of your questions and see what kinds of things you're working on in your life. And I hope you've noticed by now that we don't do this because we're perfect. We do this because we love it. And it's made such a huge difference in our life. And so we hope that you will just take up that courage to do something for you and to know that it's not this, okay, I just listen to stuff. Because you don't get handed the real beauty of it until you start seeing it, living it, experiencing it. And then you're like, dang, where have these glasses been? Yeah.
Good.
All right. Thanks. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach, This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You'll find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.